Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Gianna just had to bail out of 45 seconds to update because she's laughing.
I was going to cough. I don't know what you're talking about.
Because you just did a commercial for vibrators?
I did. Damon! For my Tempur-Pedic movable base.
Ah, that's what it was. That's the buzzing sound.
Is it Friday?
It is Friday. Martin Jones of the San Jose Sharks will be joining us here in just a little bit. We're looking forward to catching up with him, talking about a season that's been pretty good to the Sharks. You all right there, Gianna?
I'm good.
She's good.
It's Friday the 13th, by the way.
She's going to be okay. Yeah, Friday the 13th. Is there like a good
movable base? I'm good.
Is there like a horror movie marathon? Have we got like a Friday the 13th marathon?
Probably.
You've never seen a horror series take a faster trip downhill after about its third sequel, quite like that one.
There's like 13.
Well, I think that's what they were going for.
Yeah.
One of 13 of those.
You know what to expect. Somebody dies horribly.
Yeah.
Don't want to spoil it for you, but it is.
The minute there is a sexually inappropriate situation, somebody gets speared every single time.
Sorry, total squirrel, but the one scene I will never forget is when he comes flying through the window. I think it's the first or second one.
Mm-hmm.
Two people are.
Yes.
In bed. Anyway, yes. He comes flying through the window. I will never forget. That freaks me out, sleeping near a window sometimes.
I always thought of the creepiest, like one of the creepiest Friday the 13th kills is when he's under the bed and then he just like puts the machete straight up through two
terrible.
People. Ow!
That is terrible. Don't watch it. It's a very gruesome movie.
Well, it's a horror movie. That's what they're going for.
That's true.
There's a lot of famous people. Kevin Bacon was killed off in a Friday the 13th movie.
Was he really?
He was. Yeah.
Jamie Lee Curtis was Halloween. Never mind.
Jamie Lee Curtis was Halloween, absolutely.
Squirrel!
Yeah, okay, back on
track. No, it's Friday the 13th. It's relevant,
it makes sense.
It's topical, it works on a lot of levels. So we're going to be saying hello to Martin Jones here in a little bit. Let's go to Mike in Oakland instead of keeping him on hold all afternoon. Mike, how are you? Oh, Mike. Oh, no, he's like a full half hour behind us. He's listening to like a show from 2 days ago. Sorry, Mike, We tried to go to you. We really did. We wanted it to work out, but it didn't. Want to get back to what the Warriors did last night against the Pistons. We were talking quite a bit about Oracle Arena. As loud as it was, will it be that loud again? I'll tell you, it got loud last night when Ian Clark was hitting back-to-back threes.
Marjanovic catches up top, hand off to Johnson, rotates over to Morris. Morris, pass over to Hilliard. He'll go baseline up and under, blocked inside by Draymond or McGee. Draymond comes up with the ball. Draymond accelerates to the paint, throws right wing, Clark for three, got it! Draymond Green made that play, Curry comes up and steals the ball from Morris, dribbles in, takes it middle, throws to Clark, Clark open, fires, and hits again! Ian Clark with back-to-back threes, the Warriors lead by seven.
It was a lot of fun at Oracle last night, the place flipped out, and I'm sure it's going to be going crazy on Monday when the Cavaliers get here, then the Thunder, then they're on the road to play Houston. It's going to be a big week for the Warriors. It's been a good year for the San Jose Sharks, obviously coming off of a Stanley Cup Finals appearance. It was really the high watermark in the franchise's entire history. And what do you know? It was the year that no one expected them to go that far, that they went the furthest they've ever been. It was because of Martin Jones. He was just phenomenal. I'm sure he doesn't want to take all the credit, but we're really happy to have the Sharks goalie join us here on 95.7 The Game. Martin, Damon Bruce, thank you for joining me, man. How are you?
I'm doing good, guys. How you doing?
Doing great. Thank you so much for being on today. You pretty much have picked up where you left off following your Stanley Cup run. You're currently 2 points back of Anaheim in the Pacific, but with two fewer games played, and you're at the midway point here in your season. Kind of the same situation the Warriors are in, too. They're talking about how it's the dog days of the NBA season. Are these the dog days of hockey season?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, we're definitely in the thick of the season here. We've got a lot of games in a short amount of days. So, you know, this is when the games start to get a little bit more important, start to mean a little bit more. So this is when the games start getting a little more exciting.
You were just named to your first All-Star game. Congratulations. You're going to be joining your teammates, Joe Pavelski and Brent Burns. It's quite a moment more for you, man. Congrats.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it's going to be a fun event. It's kind of nice to have it in L.A. as well.
When you and Pavelski, Brent Burns, y'all found out, so now that you're like the three All-Stars, do you have to go out and like all get tattoos together, or how's that work?
I think just a congratulatory handshake is enough. I don't think I'm getting any tattoo.
No? Tat-free life?
Yeah, I don't have any tattoos. I'm too scared.
Yeah, I don't have either. I can't make up my mind. I think I can't marry myself to an image I want on my body forever.
Yeah, it's pretty permanent. So,
if you won the Stanley Cup, would you get a Stanley Cup tattoo?
I would think about it. I don't want to commit to anything right now.
There you go. He's non-committal, folks. Martin Jones, Sharks goalie. Your journey to the Sharks is an interesting one, Martin. You win a cup with the rival Kings in 13-14. Then you get traded to the Bruins in 2015. Not even a week later, you're traded to the Sharks. So I hope you didn't buy in Boston. You're only renting. I bet you never thought that your career would put you in a teal sweater heading into the summer of 2015.
Yeah, it was, like you said, it was a bit of a crazy summer. You know, obviously playing behind Quickie in LA, you know, there wasn't a lot of opportunity for me to kind of advance my career and then get a little bit more playing time. So, you know, it's kind of funny when you don't have much control over these things and where you get traded or how that's going to go. But, you know, I feel very, very lucky the way things kind of shook out and coming to San Jose and getting to play for a great team here.
When you're the clear backup goalie at the beginning of the career, of your career, like how much does a guy like Jonathan Quick help you out in order to get you ready? Or is there almost, you know, I'm here to be a good teammate, but I don't want to get you too good because you're the guy in my rearview mirror.
No, Quickie was great to play with. You know, just being around, him, getting to watch him every day in practice and playing, you know, that's where you learn a lot is just being able to watch a guy like that day in, day out and see kind of what he does that makes him successful. So, you know, I learned a lot from Quickie. We had a great working relationship and yeah, I mean, he still keeps in touch yeah, it was just a great experience overall.
Martin Jones, San Jose Sharks goalie here on the Damon Bruce Show. I've always wondered if one season really rolls into the next. In some instances, I think you can see it. In other places, you have to look harder to see it. Do you feel that the Stanley Cup Finals appearance was the springboard into this season, or one really doesn't have much to do with the other?
I don't know. I mean, I'd like to think that if we didn't go to the finals, I'd still be having a good season this year. But yeah, it's something you can definitely draw confidence from and, you know, knowing what we're capable of and to kind of have that success in the playoffs. You know, that's definitely something you can kind of gain some confidence from. But, you know, I don't know how much it carries over season to season. Every team is so good. You know, it's really tough to win. And getting off to a good start is important, and just kind of we've kind of rolled with some of that momentum.
I tell you, you were great in the finals. You were great throughout the playoffs. You were just a rock in the pipes for them. It was a fun experience for everyone involved. I mean, we've seen this franchise finish with, you know, the most points in the NHL, all the expectations of the world and a flame out somewhere to have a season that sort of went unnoticed. And then the playoffs start, you guys qualify, and then you get real hot real fast. Like it was an incredible journey. Did you expect to get to the finals last year? And when you were in it, how surprised were you? How, you know, a whole bunch of guys, even though it was their first time around, they looked pretty comfortable.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's just our group. We have such a great group of guys in our dressing room that, you know, we got hot at the right time, like you said, and we started playing some really good hockey, and you guys are just comfortable with each other. And, you know, I think that showed on the ice the way we played. And, you know, I don't think that we didn't think we could do it. You know, like you said, the season was a little bit up and down. Guys are trying to adjust to a new coaching staff and some new systems. It might have something to do with it. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, everybody's so good. You get hot at the right time, and you never know what can happen.
four of your next five games are at home. You don't leave the state of California for 10 days. It's a nice part of your schedule for you guys to finally get a little, you know, consecutive nights in your own bed, get on your own ice, sort of do a little, you know, just whatever you got to do to work out the kinks. It's really nice to have long, extended stays at home, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. You know, the first half of the season felt like we're on the road every other week, so it's kind of nice to have a little stretch at home here, and we just got to make sure that take care of our home games here because they don't get any easier down the stretch here.
Martin Jones of the Sharks, we have seen the NBA become obsessed with the concept of resting players, when to rest players, resting players on back-to-back. You know, hockey players don't rest with the frequency that NBA players do. Goalies, though, usually are scheduled for rests here and there. About how many games in a row do you play before you still start feeling like your tank emptying a little bit and you're thinking, all right, maybe a night off wouldn't be the worst idea for me tonight?
Yeah, I don't know if I can put a number on it. I think a lot of it just kind of depends on the schedule. You know, if we're traveling and you know, how many games and how many days kind of thing. So I don't know if there's an exact number, but I think we've done a good job kind of managing our rest and, you know, days in between games with practices and days off and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, I feel good right now. I played a lot of hockey, but, you know, the body's feeling good and I'm ready for a big run down the stretch here.
Goalie of my childhood was Eddie Belfour. Who was the goalie of your childhood?
Martin Brodeur and Patrick Waugh were the two. Yeah, I loved watching those guys, them. And, I mean, there were so many, Curtis Joseph, Felix Potvin, all those guys.
Yeah. Curtis Joseph and Felix Potvin. God, I haven't thought about those guys in ages.
Yeah. I had lots of guys to watch and kind of pick and choose for different things from their games. So it was fun to watch.
How much do you want a rink-wide brawl to bust out so you and another goalie can go trade blocker punches at mid-ice?
Not very much. I don't know how well I would do, so I'm hoping that doesn't happen.
You just got to land one good blocker punch, man, and that's ball game right there, right?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, close my eyes and throw a couple punches.
Hey, Martin, thanks a lot, man. Good luck against the Blues. I know they're coming to town tomorrow. I really appreciate you coming on, and let's do it again sometime.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Thank you very much. Martin Jones, Sharks goalie, here on 95.7 The Game. I should have asked him what it's like to skate with Jonas Donskoy, the greatest hockey player of his generation. Donskoy! Skar! There you go. So all Sharks fans who feel you are underserved, I hope you feel well served right there.
Yeah.
I hope you feel good. Thanks to the Sharks for promoting that via Twitter as well. Isn't that nice of them? 888-957-9570. That's the number.
It's raining, Donskoy. Hallelujah. Donskoy. Merry Christmas. Skar.
Thanks, Elena. I didn't know you were putting together mashups today. Jeez. What am I thinking sometimes? How did I get to It's Raining Donskoy? What was I thinking about? How did that even come up? One more time, if you would, please, just in case anyone...
It's raining Donskoy! Hallelujah! Donskoy! Merry Christmas! Skar!
Okay, so... Can we talk about the one sporting event that you're going to hear a lot about, but you're never going to see? Saw on the Bleacher Report today that Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor are trying to size each other up again, or at least trying to size up a purse that would put them in the same ring together. Rumors continue to swirl about a potential fight between longtime boxing superstar Floyd Mayweather Jr. and UFC sensation Conor McGregor. Today, UFC President Dana White on The Herd with Colin Cowherd made a formal offer to Mayweather. He says each fighter gets $25 million guaranteed. From there, they could negotiate how the pay-per-view money would be split. $25 million guaranteed.
Hmm.
$25 million guaranteed, Conor McGregor. You're going to pretend that's not going to be the greatest payday you ever have dangled in front of you in your life.
It's a lot of money.
Floyd Mayweather, meantime, is like, call me when you got another $75 million because my opening bid is $100
million. God.
$100 million. So, all I can tell you is this. There's just no way it would ever happen. And if it did, it's going to be over before it begins. Lennox Lewis, he knows a little something about fighting, don't you think? Used to be the heavyweight champion of the world. He weighed in on all this, and he says it's pretty simple. If they fight MMA rules, McGregor wins. If they box, it's Floyd Mayweather. It was simple, really, if you think about it. There's no way Floyd Mayweather would ever agree to anything other than boxing.
Right.
There's no way he's going to go in there to grapple with Conor McGregor. And Conor McGregor is going to get knocked out instantly by Floyd Mayweather. Or Conor McGregor will chase Floyd Mayweather, not landing a single punch for however many minute rounds they decide to fight. You know, they go old school boxing. I guarantee you Conor McGregor wouldn't even land a punch of significance. Floyd Mayweather is possibly the greatest defensive boxer that has ever lived. He hasn't been hit hard almost in his entire career. It's something else. I don't like the guy. I don't even necessarily like his fights because there's very little back and forth action. It's him putting on an absolute punching clinic without real knockout power, but he lands unbelievable combinations and then he just doesn't get hit the whole fight. Remember, we were dying for Mayweather-Pacquiao, and when we finally got it, it was just junk. It was a garbage fight. One of the worst fights I ever remember being excited to watch, and then you watched it and you were like, ugh. Wish I had that money and time back in my life. So Floyd Mayweather, who went on First Take, I guess, a couple days ago to discuss this and said, we tried to make the Conor McGregor fight. They know what my number is. My number is a guaranteed $100 million. That was my number. So they're $75 million short here in trying to put this fight together, and that seems like almost impossible to bridge that gap. All I can tell you is that Mayweather and McGregor, they're terrific promoters. They're great self-promoters. The hype for the fight would be awesome.
Oh, definitely.
It would be better than the fight.
A lot of people would watch it, too.
The press conference would be better than the fight. There's no doubt. But I don't think it's ever going to happen. And ultimately, in disposable sporting events, there would be nothing really even proven in it. What are we going to prove? That Conor McGregor can't box as well as Floyd Mayweather? I don't need that experiment for me to know what the result will be.
We pretty much know how that's going to end. But would Mayweather be as good as McGregor in UFC? No.
Of course not.
So we know how that conversation ends. So it's kind of...
I guarantee you that Floyd Mayweather hasn't gone to lock in an armbar not a single day of his life. Unless, of course, he was having one of those six stripper parties. A couple arm bars thrown around there.
Plus $100 million. Wow.
What's amazing.
That's your asking offer.
How much juice do you have if you're like, look, $25 million? I don't even get off my couch for that.
That's crazy. I get off my couch for $25 million.
For $25 million, I'd let you do anything you wanted to me on my couch, basically. I mean, for $25 million, I'll start selling dignity fast. Just
good to know you have a price, Damon.
$25 million. For $25 million, yeah.
That's a lot of money. That's a lot. I mean, that's like you're set. Your kids are set kind of money. if you play your, you know, if you invest correctly and you play your cards right, you're good. You're good.
There you go. Breaking news. Gianna says if you invest correctly, you can just get by on 25 mil.
Well, you got to be smart with it. There's plenty of people who win like the Powerball lottery and lose it all because they're dumb.
Right.
So 25 million, you could spend 25 million. I know I could in a lifetime.
Sure you could. You could spend it if you bought the wrong house. So you go to Pacific Heights right now and sink your money into a $12 million house and
that's it.
Easy.
Taxes.
Easy.
So, but 25 million, if you're smart, that could go a long way.
Now, got the text line saying, stick to ball sports, Damon. You apparently know very little about MMA athletes. I know every single MMA athlete that has ever fought or ever will fight is completely out of their league if they're just boxing against Floyd Mayweather. And if you don't know that, you don't know nothing about pugilism, fighting, man time, nothing. If you take every single fighting attribute that Conor McGregor specializes in away from him, you know, but oh, he's a striker. Yeah, the other guy's a boxer. If he can't get around and start looking for submission holds, if that guy can't go down to the ground, if the fight is stopped every single time somebody hits a knee, Conor McGregor doesn't have a shot. Now, if the very first thing Conor McGregor can do to open the fight is to pick up Floyd Mayweather and pin him against a chain link fence and start fighting that way, he's got a shot.
Yeah.
He's absolutely got a shot if he can kick and knee and punch and do everything that you see in an MMA fight. I'm not going to pretend I'm an MMA aficionado. I'm far from that, but I do understand the concept of styles make fights, and if you're asking for somebody to eliminate their style completely to go fight, they're at a disadvantage. What is the over-under on the number of times Conor McGregor throws a kick in that fight? Again, I don't think that the fight would have to be stopped immediately if in a boxing match Conor McGregor starts kicking. that's sort of my point. Brian in Hayward wants to talk about the fight that will never happen. Brian, how are you?
Hey, really quick, Bruce. I got to say the only fight this way is going to happen is if Triple H makes it happen at WrestleMania.
What's that again? Triple H is fight? Huh?
No, I said the only way this fight will ever happen is if Triple H commissions this at WrestleMania.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yes. You're going to have someone with a sledgehammer hidden under the ring threatening people in order to get this accomplished. It's amazing, though. I'd love to be in a position to turn down $25 million. Like, not worth my time. Floyd's a damn baller. He really is. Let's go to Mike in the city. Mike's been waiting patiently. How are you, Mike?
Hey, Damon. I just got to say, man, you are hilarious.
Oh, thank you.
Because the dude that thinks that McGregor has a chance with Floyd Mayweather in the ring, I don't know what he's smoking, but I want to smoke what he's smoking.
It would be over whenever Floyd decided he wanted it to be over. He could toy with McGregor for 3 minutes at a time, land punches in bunches. McGregor maybe doesn't even make contact, certainly no significant contact, and it would just be like a kitten toying with a ball of yarn if McGregor thought he could actually fight Floyd Mayweather. Look at what he did. Look at what he's done to his peers, his own peer group. They never got close. A guy who doesn't participate in the same sport is going to threaten him? Come on. Did we say goodbye to him? I thought we had more to say. I guess you know what?
He had a good laugh.
I appreciate the call. Thank you, Mike. Let's go to John in Concord real quick. John, how are you?
Hey, you have a great show. I love the way you go about your business.
Thanks, John.
Hey, I grew up in the Northwest. I've been watching hockey forever. One thing I will say about the hockey players is they are very well-versed when they speak. But one thing about professional hockey players. They can play football, they can golf, they can play basketball. If you put all the other players, football players, baseball players, and you put them on skates, they're not going to do very good.
I would agree with you there. If you don't know how to ice skate, you're at a disadvantage on a hockey rink for sure.
But I just think they are, it's a lot of fun if you go to a hockey game. It's a great experience. But like I said, the guys are really Burns would make a great tight end. I mean, that guy would be, but they seem to be a lot of fun. And like I said, I've been watching hockey forever. A lot of people don't get into that. But I hope the Sharks go to the, I was bummed when McClellan left. You can see what he's doing with the Oilers. But this guy here has a different technique.
Yeah, DeBoer's he's got a really good system going on right now. Sharks don't need to look back on any decisions about coaches with regret. I think they look forward to everything that's coming up here. And I thank you for your call, man. I really appreciate it. What keeps hockey players humble is kind of what keeps NASCAR drivers humble. Their fame doesn't really come to them until they're standing in the arena, where if you're a high school All-American in football, we know about you in high school. If you are a college basketball player, a great high school basketball player, we might have heard about you when you were in the eighth grade. The amount of attention that you get lauded at you, and that warps how you think of yourself. You can't spend the 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th year of a young kid's life telling him how great he is without that kid growing up thinking he's so great. And you got all these adults who kowtow in the AAU circle to basketball players and inflate all of their heads and egos. The professional athlete that plays hockey doesn't have that inflated ego day one. It might happen, but it won't be with them day one. And I'm not saying every single NBA player has an inflated ego day one, but the AAU culture, the praising the kid, going out of the way to make sure the kid gets anything he wants, that is certainly not as extended towards hockey as it is in other places. So I think it breeds a humbler athlete. They didn't get a childhood full of attention. Unless, of course, you're like a real standout, Eric Lindros, Wayne Gretzky, and we did hear about you when you were 10 years old. But then you're probably Canadian, so you grow up super nice. Don't sleep on Canadian niceties. It's the real deal.
Yeah.
It's the real deal.
They're nice.
888. But Don Collins in his office just fist pumping right now. Just fired up. 888-957-9570. There's the number. We're going to take more of your calls after our buddy Gary St. Jean joins us on the Damon Bruce Show. Time for one of my favorite conversations of the week. Gary St. Jean, CSN Bay Area Warriors analyst, good enough to join us here on the Damon Bruce Show. Gary, we could talk about what's happened, and we will a little bit, but let's just start looking ahead because we got a big week coming up. Let's jump right into it. Do you think the Cavaliers are in the Warriors' heads having won four in a row and coming in with Korver?
I don't know that they're in their heads, but I think there's a respect. And listen, they're a terrific team, and they earned it last year. 2 years ago, they were banged up, and the Warriors beat them. Last year, the Warriors were banged up, and they did their work, and they won it. Christmas, we learned from that. We're down up 14 in the fourth and lose it. And I think the guys will be ready tomorrow and bring their A game.
I would hope so. Do you think that we see
Monday.
Yeah. Do you think that we see Steve Kerr use this as a regular season game that comes with a touch of postseason preparation to it? Will they use this game to make a statement at all, or are they going to really hide behind it's just one of 82 regular season games?
No, they're not going to fib to you. They're going to tell you this is a big game on the schedule, and hey, it's pride. For a coaching staff, you want to have your guys ready to go, giving their best performance. mentally and physically. And as players, hey, listen, they want to get this win. I'm old school. I want them to win because I want them to have home court all the way through the playoffs, having the best record. And I think that's big. That's how much respect I have for Cleveland, that I think it's important to have, if in fact it does go seven, that you have the seventh game in Oracle.
Gary St. Jean here on 95.7 The Game. And I ask you this question, and I feel like I need a disclaimer before I even ask you this question. I think Steve Kerr is the perfect coach for the Golden State Warriors. The guy is a fantastic tactician. He is a master when it comes to dealing with egos, big and small. And I love the way that he treats everybody with like a universal level of respect. Doesn't matter if you own the team or you work for the team. He treats everybody pretty much even-handedly. I love the guy. He's one of the best interviews we've ever done on a weekly basis. But if we had to turn our attention to Kerr and analyze him with a critical eye, your former coaching eye, Gary, is there something that you would determine a weak spot in his coaching arsenal? Is there something that you, and maybe it's just like really like side out plays in critical moments or something like that. Is there anything that you think is his blind spot or weak spot?
No, I'll put triple exclamation points on everything you said before you use the word but, and then went on to ask that question. I'm with you. I think first and foremost, he's a great guy who's been through all the battles that take place in the NBA, front office, playing, now coaching. And as you use the word respect, he is number one thing to me is who he is as a guy and his abilities to communicate with people. He interviews post-pregame better or as good as anybody I've ever seen. And as you said, he's genuine. There's nothing fake. He's real. Now, you want to get technical? One thing I think they're revisiting because of these late-game situations with Draymond and Durant and Curry, they might revisit calling timeout to set and define what they want to run. I like Dame. I like what he does in terms of they've got plays that they know what we call need situations. We need to get a score here, late-game situation. Fellas, on the board, they're running two up, late game to win, and the players know it. Now, some coaches like to call a timeout to review, to educate or re-educate the guys who are in there, and maybe to get everybody calm and focused if there's a lot of emotions going on. And frankly, if your team is capable, I'm in Steve's corner. I like the way that he puts it in their hands. He's got an extremely bright team, and but maybe because of some of these late games, he might revisit that. That'd be one of the. Geez, that might be the only thing I can really bring to the table for you. That's about as deep as I can get.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the thing. If you went deeper, you'd be making stuff up, because how do you criticize what has been an unbelievable coaching debut followed by two pretty good seasons, if you don't mind me saying? Yeah. Gary St. Jean here with us on the Damon Bruce Show. One of the things that Steve was talking about before last night's game was the flow of the game and too many replays. It's something that he brought up before the press conference, before the game last night. Gary, what do you think the NBA can balance getting it right but speeding it up when it comes to the final 2 minutes of the game?
Boy, I liked what he had to say. You know, he was on the competition committee for a good number of years when he was GM. I was on it for like 7 or 8 years. There's a lot of a give and take, good conversation in there. You know, baseball's too long as well. But I like hockey. What is it? In the last minute or two, they can only call 21-20 second timeout or something like that. You know, maybe we take a look at something like that. You know, can you save all the timeouts and what's the length of them? And he made up a great point. He made a great point about the replays. You know, that yeah, we want the refs to get it right and all that kind of thing. And we want transparency after what took place with Donaghy and all of that stuff. You know, a former official with the book that he wrote. But I like Steve's thing about the breakaway fouls.
Yeah, clear path.
If you hug me over on the other side of the court, what the heck bearing does that have on the other guy going in to make a layup? So, you know, it's good stuff to digest because I guess we're talking about the millennials, and they don't like wasting time. They want things to move at a quicker pace and fashion. So I think everyone's cognizant, aware of it, and I think they're going to try to speed it up. I like everybody talking about those things.
Gary, one of my favorite things is watching a guy just develop the confidence that will carry him through the rest of his career. And Ian Clark right now, he hit those back-to-back threes early in that game last night. It got Oracle rocking. He passed up dishing back to a wide-open Steph to take his second three that he buried. And I just feel like this guy, he is going to do something important in a big game for them in the postseason where, you know, we're going to talk about all the matchups and no one's going to talk about Ian Clark, but Ian Clark's going to save this team's bacon at one point in time. And that's a lot to put on a guy with a team that's got Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Steph Curry on it. But I really think he's going to.
Yeah, no, you know what? Didn't you feel a little bit like that was Leandro Barbosa?
Yeah!
You know, it was kind of like, hey, I've taken the reins. And what a cool thing, though, for this young guy to have this confidence level. We know he can make shots. It's kind of an unorthodox shot, some tight on the shoulder. But when you're playing with these four great players, you're getting a lot of time and space to get your shot off. So he doesn't have to throw up a lot of unbalanced stuff. He's got a drift in the vision of the passer who's being maybe double-teamed or really contested in the paint. And I love this. You know, when you grow in the NBA, the game slows down for you. When you're really young, I'll use the example of McCaw starting the other night, who I think has a very bright upside.
Yeah.
The game was going really fast for him, okay? Another year, maybe it's going to slow down for him like it has for Clark. And it's just a vision from an old coach watching the guy play. You can see guys that are in a rush when they don't have to be. And so I'm happy for Clark. Because I think this guy, the players on the team really like him. He must be a good guy. He must be a willing listener. Guys like Andre Iguodala and these guys are trying to take him under their wing and teach him a little couple of points, you know, that they learned along the way. And that's what happens, though, with a great team, that they don't have to force feed really young guys. And then they get bad habits and they get really a tough time getting out of those. This guy is getting a tremendous education and developing as a guy that Steve Kerr now, the past couple games, you say, hey, this guy's getting the job done. I can rely on him. I can put him in there in some big situations. Is it Klay Thompson or somebody else is resting or if we have foul trouble, if we have an injury? So I think it's great.
Yeah, I know Steve believes in his bench integrity, but the next time he does have a shooting guard to understudy, I'd like to see Clark get a shot to run with the starting five just a little bit. I felt McCaw was a little of a stretch. I know why he did it. No one needs to explain it to me. But this kid is earning more time. He really, really is. What's the old John Wooden quote? It's the old be quick, but never hurry.
Hurry up, yes. That's right. Yeah, exactly right.
Hey,
and you know, maybe to your point, Dame, maybe because he was replacing Clay, he wanted a little more size as a two-guard in the matchup. But I hear you. This young guy is really you smile when you see a young guy like that playing. That's really cool stuff.
Gary, we smile whenever we talk to you. Thank you so much. We're going to see you on Monday, my friend. Take care.
You got it. Have a great weekend, Dave.
You do the same. Gary St. Jean, always great to talk with him. You know, it's always also really good to get a little revenge when you know that you've just been done wrong. Alabama fans feel they got done wrong in that national championship game. Imagine if you're an Alabama fan who bought a counterfeit ticket. Oh, I've got a revenge story. Roll Tide next on the Dame and Bruce Show. During the commercial break, Gianna and I just talking about all the people that she's been in contact with back in her original hometown of San Diego and just how heartbroken the town really is. My buddy Darren Smith, a host down there, who basically held an on-air funeral yesterday for the city of San Diego over the Chargers. He's going to join us at 6 o'clock and kind of get us a boots-on-the-ground recap of what it's been down there. And you were just telling me one of your favorite Charger memories.
Yeah, I mean, 1994, when they were going to the Super Bowl.
AFC
they got
champs.
Slaughtered by the Niners. We know all how that ended up. But I remember going with a group of friends down to Qualcomm, to the queue, to, you know, greet the players when they came home and just to kind of celebrate winning AFC. And we were standing there in front. There was these barricades in front of us and these guys behind us like, girls, you're either going to get out of the way or we're going to lift you up and you're going to run with us, but we're going to storm the field and just start this big old fun party. And we did, and we were down in the field, and it was so much fun. And my brother, who was living in Arizona at the time, calls my mom. They had a restaurant, and there was TVs. So like, Gianna's on TV. All the national media was there, but it's just, you know, it's those memories you think about, like, that's never going to happen again for us.
Right.
I mean, and what I will never forget that day. It was so much fun to just celebrate with all these strangers, but we had one thing in common, the community of being Charger fans.
Yeah.
And that's gone now.
And this is why I am going to continue to fight for the Raiders to stay in Oakland as much as a guy who can only talk about it, fight about it. I mean, it's just you are ripping the heart out of cultural experiences in a town that has very few connection points for total strangers to come together. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're rich, you're poor, you're black, you're white, you're from here, you're not from here. If you are a fan of Team X,
right,
you and I have something in common if I am also a fan of Team X.
You have a community. That is what I love about sports. It can bond people of all classes.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's hard. It's hard when you lose something that has so many memories for you and your family and your childhood, and you think you don't get to have that for your kids in your future. It really hurts. It really does.
As former Miss San Diego.
Yeah.
So what year was that?
So I don't mean 1997.
All right, so 1997. But as a former Miss San Diego, like, do you have any remaining Miss San Diego powers that can stop this move? Do you have any juice left as your reigning Miss San Diego to stop this or prevent this from happening?
I'll see what I can do.
See what I can do. Obviously, you haven't weighed in yet. Maybe if they hear from you, they'll go back. Did you see what they did also to further anger the city of San Diego today?
Oh, revamped the logo?
They revamped the logo to the powder blue, and apparently they've been begging for powder blue unis to return full-time down in San Diego for over a decade.
Yep.
And for whatever reason, well, I'll tell you what the reason is. The reason that they didn't do it is because they've been thinking about relocating or a new stadium for a really long time. So they're probably waiting for the season where they either had the new stadium in San Diego or relocating or had an uphill battle to fight in terms of PR. And the only thing that the San Diego or Los Angeles Chargers can roll out with universal praise are those glorious powder puff blue uniforms.
I know.
Oh, they are great. Oh, they're great, great football uniforms. They really are.
That's a bummer. By the way, during my reign, the Super Bowl was in San Diego. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, while you were the reigning Miss.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I remember going and signing autographs with San Diego Charger players down at Southwestern College in Chula Vista. I will never forget that.
That's awesome.
I mean, it's just, yeah, it's just good memories.
What
anyway.
Was that Super Bowl? Who was in it?
Oh.
Do you remember?
Yes, Packers-Patriots.
Packers-Patriots.
Packers won.
There you go. That was a Desmond Howard.
Yeah, Packers won, Packers-Patriots.
There you go. Brett Favre's one and only.
Yeah.
Did Brett Favre try to bring you back to his hotel room, thinking that since he got to the Super Bowl, he also got Miss San Diego?
Yeah, no.
No?
That didn't happen.
Not part of the, I'm going to Disney World with Miss San Diego.
And I know people joke and say, you know, San Diego, you can just drive a little bit north to go see your team. It's not the same. San Diego doesn't, there's no relationship, no love between San Diego and L.A.
Well, and from the text line, it says, get over it, San Diego fans. Get in your car, jump on the freeway, take a little drive to watch your team. It's not really that far. Hey, as the wheel spins, as the crow flies, it isn't that far.
No, but you traffic? There could be traffic any day of the week in Los Angeles, and we're talking like 3 hours of gridlock.
4 hours.
Easy.
4 hours. On a Sunday where everyone's coming back from their weekend, whatever they were doing anyway, and that's the day you're traveling, the 405 with the 5 or the 405
four
twice?
405 or the 5, yeah.
Bah!
It's not as easy as it sounds. And it's not in San Diego.
Right.
I mean, that's the bottom line. It's not in San Diego. Okay.
It's brutal. It's just brutal. Have you ever bought a counterfeit ticket? Has it ever happened to you? It hasn't happened to me. I've been pretty lucky. I've used scalpers, but I've never been stuck with a counterfeit ticket that wouldn't let me into said event. But it's happened to a couple of my friends. I've seen it happen at concerts a couple times. It happens more at concerts that I've been at than sporting events I've ever attended.
Right.
That's when people really get screwed over with some tickets. Three Alabama fans looking to go to the national championship game were robbed of $2,000, and they weren't about to let the thief get away with it. Brian Gentry and his two brothers purchased two tickets for the game, $1,000 each, from the guy that they found on Craigslist. They planned to find another ticket outside the stadium on Monday night. When the men returned to their hotel room, they really examined the tickets, and they noticed just some indications that it might be counterfeit. So I guess they had them checked, and indeed they were. We came to the conclusion we've been burned. So we're blessed enough with good jobs, we could replace that income. But we started thinking about all the other people he was probably taking advantage of, and that made us mad. And you don't make the Gentry brothers mad.
Just by the sound of that.
You don't make the Gentry brothers mad.
It's like a movie.
It's like a movie trailer.
Yeah.
Next of Kin, starring Patrick Swayze.
In a world.
Don't make the Gentry brothers mad. The Gentry brothers didn't let go of it. They contacted the scalper again, who was 20-year-old Joseph Stephen Escalera on Craigslist. They used different information and arranged to buy more counterfeit tickets, saying that they had cash up front. And one of the brothers took a selfie with him when he was buying the counterfeit tickets, not thinking they were counterfeit. He was just so excited to be getting the tickets. He's like, I got to get a selfie with the guy who's giving me my national championship game. If you're selling counterfeit tickets and you're dumb enough to take a selfie with the guy that you're selling them to, I mean, come on. So the scalper began the transaction, Gianna. His customers, two brothers, then snuck. You don't mess with the Gentry brothers.
Nope.
The Gentry brothers snuck up from behind. One pinned him to his chair. He was sitting down, so they pin him to the chair. They pinched the nerve. They went old Vulcan neck pinch. So they're like pinching the nerve on his neck. And then one of the guys held a long, cold object to the back of his head like they had a gun pointed at him.
But it wasn't a gun?
It's like a lead pipe.
Oh, my God.
They held him there for 10 minutes. They took his socks and his shoes, as well as six more counterfeit tickets that he had in his belt line that he planned to sell that night. The Tampa police arrived, and they arrested him.
Wow.
That's good revenge right there.
They're hardcore, man.
First you subdue him, then you detain him, then you make him think he's about to get killed, a bullet in the back of his head, and then he gets arrested for scalping tickets. You scumbag.
Wow. I don't want to be on their bad side.
Gentry brothers forever here on the Damon Bruce Show.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.